From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Downtown Salt Lake City is the regional center for culture, for commerce, for entertainment. It's also the regional center for homeless services. Joining me today will be Jill Remington Love, a former city council member and current deputy chief of staff for Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker. The city this week launched a commission to evaluate the facilities where services are provided. We'll talk about the plans for that commission, what the city is hoping to accomplish, and other major initiatives taking place in Salt Lake City, helping to transform Utah's urban center. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my dear and lovely friend, Jill Remington Love. Jill, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jason. It's fun to be with you today.
Jill is a former member of the Salt Lake City Council, a longtime member of the City Council, and is now working in the mayor's office as the deputy chief of staff on some really cool projects. We wanted to start out today talking about homelessness in Salt Lake City. It's an issue that we've covered several times on the show. Salt Lake City just this week launched a commission to look at the facilities that we have in downtown Salt Lake City to care for homeless people. Can you talk a little bit about the genesis of this commission and what you hope it accomplishes?
Sure. Salt Lake City does a great job, and Utah, in serving the homeless, and we've received all kinds of national attention recently. Folks nationally who are experts in this saying that Salt Lake City is doing it right. But despite that, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
And we know in the Rio Grande neighborhood that there is often conflict with the business community and folks who live in that neighborhood and some of the criminal activity that happens as a result of homelessness.
Mm-hmm. And to be clear, it's not that homeless people are necessarily the criminals, but they often get preyed on by a criminal element that uses their vulnerability to advance their criminal activities.
Exactly. That's exactly right. They are often preyed upon. And
yeah.
As a result, maybe, of the configuration of our homeless services, we've created a dynamic in the neighborhood where it's a safe place mm-hmm. for criminal activity, and we want to change that dynamic. And so
we want to make it a safe place for everyone else.
That's exactly right. So this commission has brought together stakeholders in the neighborhood and in the area of homeless services, and we are facilitating a dialogue where folks that maybe come from different viewpoints can sit around a table together, and they can look at our services and the facilities, and they can decide together as a group, is this the best we can do for mm-hmm. our homeless community? Is this the best we can do for the neighborhood that surrounds it? We've asked them to look at the existing site and determine if we should continue to provide services at those sites in the current configuration, or if we should look at providing those services at those sites but in a different configuration, mm-hmm. or is there another location that we should look at, and if so, what would that location be and how would the services be configured? We expect that this process will take place over the course of 9 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that process, we've asked this advisory group to give a recommendation to the city and to the county, their best judgment, how we can do better.
Yeah. I have to commend you for the people who are on the committee. You really were thoughtful about it, and really a wide cross-section from a really lovely lady, Anne, who was formerly homeless, who had very insightful things to say on Monday, to Gail Miller, who runs Larry Miller Enterprises, you know, the whole depth and breadth of everything that the Larry Miller organization does. People who provide services like Matt Mankovich and Kathy Bray with Volunteers of America. Matt's obviously with the Road Home. And then you've got people who are business owners. Harris Simmons, who's the chair of Zions Bank Corp. So really a wide wide range of people on this commission. Maybe you can talk a little bit about why you made this determination and who your chairs are and why you feel like those were the right people to help chair this commission.
So former Mayor Palmer DePaulis and Gail Miller are co-chairs. And Mayor DePaulis, when he was mayor 25 years ago, is who located the shelter where it was located. Mm-hmm. And he went through a very thoughtful process with the community at that time and is well-respected in the homeless community as someone who cares about the homeless, has been a leader in the homeless area. And Gail Miller owns a number of businesses in the neighborhood and is a thoughtful community leader.
Yeah.
And we felt would bring a perspective that was important to this conversation. We feel it's about 30 people, this commission. All of the folks on the commission have been on a journey where the homeless are concerned. Jason, you used that phrase the other day in a meeting. They really understand the issue. They're not lay people. They understand the issue because they maybe own a business that's in the neighborhood,
yeah,
or they've served on a board of one of the homeless service providers.
Right.
So they are experts and they are community leaders and they care about our community as much as an elected official might care about the community.
Yeah.
And they really want to do what's best for a community. And they're not the kind of group that's going to say, we can just move these services out of this neighborhood and all will be well.
Right.
They understand, this group of people understand, that isn't the case and that they have to make a decision that's best for the whole community, the neighborhood, and our homeless friends.
Yeah, and it is a complicated, challenging conversation to have. You mentioned elected officials, and you actually have Mayor McAdams, Ben McAdams, a friend of both of ours and frequent guest of this show. He's been on a few times.
We have four mayors. We have
John
Mayor
Seguini.
Right, and Mayor Wood from South Salt Lake.
Yep, and then
Mayor Becker.
And then also Spencer Cox, who is the new lieutenant governor. Also just a thoughtful, compassionate guy. He actually, I know he hasn't advertised this, but he actually has gone and spent a night in the homeless shelter to try to understand what that dynamic is like for a homeless person. I think one of the few lieutenant governors in the United States that may have had that depth of understanding and want to do something like that.
And Speaker Hughes is also going to serve on it. He couldn't be with us yesterday because of the legislature starting, but he'll be there in future meetings.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate both the speaker and the lieutenant governor's willingness to serve. These facilities are in Salt Lake City, and we are happy to provide leadership and care for the homeless as a city, but it really is, it's a service that the whole state is involved in. The state contributes a lot of money to serving the homeless.
Yeah. Well, and this really is not just for the state of Utah, but really the regional center for homeless people there certainly is a wonderful overflow facility in Midvale. I know there are some facilities in Ogden, the Food and Care Coalition in Provo. So there are a few other facilities, but really the majority of homeless services across the entire region really is located in this very kind of small geographic area in downtown Salt Lake City. So really it feels like the right time to have this conversation. There have been, over the past couple of years, a lot of conversations about it, the sort of spike in challenges associated with having these facilities seems to have gone up over the past couple of years, and so now seems like the right time. And I think I may be putting words in people's mouths, and I don't mean to do that, but my sense is from what Matt Mankiewicz, the executive director of Road Home, said yesterday is we know there are problems, that the current status quo is probably not acceptable, and we got to find a better way as a community, not putting it on the backs of police, not putting it on the backs of providers, not putting it on the backs of the business community, but as an entire regional community, we've got to find a better way to provide these services to people who are vulnerable and who so desperately need our help and deserve our help.
And, you know, the exciting thing about this process is it gives us an opportunity to have the folks around the table to have the ability to bring about change, mm-hmm, look at some of the best practices in the country, some of the best models. We don't think anyone's doing it perfectly, but
right,
we think there's a lot of good things about some facilities across the country in some cities. There's a piece of that we might want and a piece there that we may want. And this process gives us an opportunity to start new.
Yeah.
And we have the folks around the table that can make it happen.
Yeah. Well, and I have said this before, but clearly if there's any community in the world that should be able to get this right, it should be here. We have progressive leadership at the city, at the county. We have an economy that is booming. We have an organization with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that is committed to this issue and that has significant financial reserves and wants to help. Great other religious organizations. Catholic Community Services does incredible work. The Salt Lake Mission does incredible work. Salvation Army. I mean, we really have a lot of entities all committed to finding solutions. And that's something that we do really well as a community, is collaborate and work well together. So I'm really hopeful about this commission. I'm delighted to see Mayor Becker's leadership and your efforts. I want to point out you and our friend Mary Delamarche have been really critical in pulling this all together. Hiring Bill Evans, a staff member who had worked with the LDS Church for a long time, to really put it all together. But it feels like we're going to make some progress, and we're going to do good things, not just for the neighborhood or for homeless people, but for the larger community.
I think so. And one of our challenges over the next year is, how do we bring in other voices in the community beyond just this commission? Because we have had, our phones are ringing off the hooks. And that's the great thing about our community. People care about our homeless.
They do.
And they want to be a part of this process. And they have ideas that they want to share. And so we will at least two or three times in this process have opportunities for public input. We'll probably create a place where people can share their ideas online with us. This is in flux and it's fluid, and we're trying to figure out how best to allow the community to be a part of this process.
Yeah.
So we're working on that.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about other exciting things going on at City Hall. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW, and we will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. This is a show that explores the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my dear friend, Jill Remington Love. Jill is the Deputy Chief of Staff for Salt Lake City, a kind of a recent hire, Jill. You've been on board for how long now?
About 5 months.
5 months, okay.
Time flies.
It does. It does. What do you see as some of the big issues or challenges or things that you're proud about that Salt Lake City's working on right now?
You know, I'll just go to the mayor's livability agenda, which is mobility, arts and culture, education, fairness and equality, and we're making such progress in all of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Salt Lake City really is a city that other communities across the country look to.
Yeah.
We're doing good work across the board. The mayor last week was in the White House chairing a task force on climate change. We know here locally that clean air is probably the biggest issue on people's mind, and
yeah,
we have a lot of work to do on it.
Especially this time of the year.
Right, and we have a lot of work to do on it. But in spite of that, across the country, people look to us.
Yeah.
We're doing some creative things.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're doing is creating a community dialogue on police,
mm-hmm,
and we would love public input about what they want to talk about in terms of police and the use of force. And online right now at City Hall, we have a question, and it's going to be open for a couple of weeks. We're not going out and presuming that we know what people want to talk about,
mm-hmm,
so we're starting at just planting the seed. We know this is an issue right now across the country. It's been an issue in our community a little bit, and it's an important issue, and we want to talk about it. So if folks want to go to Open City Hall, SLCGov webpage.
So it's slcgov.com, right? Is that right?
Right. And I would go to the mayor's page,
okay,
and there'll be a link to,
okay,
that question. But if you want to talk about this and you have an idea of how we should talk about it, we want to hear from you.
Yeah, that's great. I will just put in a plug. Before I came to this job, I didn't really know police officers very well. I mean, I know them if I got a ticket. That would be like the interaction that I had with them. But having worked really closely with Fred Ross now, who's the Deputy Chief for Downtown Salt Lake City, and Mike Brown, who was in that role kind of before Chief Burbank, I know our police are dedicated and committed and just some of the best people I've ever known.
And compassionate.
And incredibly compassionate. I remember when immigration issues were coming up, or non-discrimination issues, that Chief Burbank has really been a national leader in terms of being progressive and thoughtful in thinking about difficult issues. And I really am so proud of the police department that we have here.
Well, and Jason, we were one of the first police forces in the country to have body cameras.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't waiting for some sort of federal mandate. We've been ahead of the game,
yeah,
on that one. Our civilian review process is rigorous and separate. In a lot of cases, these police investigations are done by the city council.
Yeah.
Here we have a separate citizen body that investigates. Last week, the mayor did an executive order that the results of that civilian review process can be made public.
Yeah.
I think we are leaders in the country, but that doesn't mean...
That's not necessarily good enough. We can always do better.
That's right. Sure. And so that's why we want to have this community dialogue.
Yeah. Lots of exciting things going on in the downtown area. I have been so excited to see the Eccles Theater and 111 going up. That's going to be pretty exciting. That's something you worked on as a city council member.
It is exciting. And the plans for Regent Street is this arts entertainment neighborhood district where there might be an opportunity for local shops and local artists. It's really exciting. And in 2016, it should be done.
It's coming right up sooner rather than later.
Right.
So that's exciting. Also this week, the LDS Church made a pretty major announcement, tempered a little bit, but a major announcement about support for a statewide non-discrimination ordinance. I know you were on the city council back in 2009 when the LDS Church spoke out in favor of Salt Lake City's non-discrimination ordinance, and you guys were able to vote as the first city in the state to create this non-discrimination policy for LGBTQ people in our community. That's another way, I guess, that Salt Lake City has sort of led the state that now is becoming very mainstream and adopted across the board.
It is, and I will never forget that night and that public hearing, and it was one of the most moving nights of my city council career. It was really spectacular to be a part of that, and I hope so much the legislature gets to have that experience this year. It's the right thing to do. And you're right that Salt Lake City really created a model and a template for other communities. And I don't know if you know the number, but dozens and dozens of cities throughout the state have adopted similar ordinances.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, when I look at it, and this is true for the homeless issues as well, Salt Lake City is playing an appropriate role as the capital city, that you expect leadership from a capital city. You expect the capital city to lead the way, find solutions, play a role in providing services for the entire region. That's what cities do. There's a Harvard economist, Edward Glaser, who's talked about how sometimes people look at cities and see poverty and think that that's a failure, but actually what happens is cities are a source of strength, and there's a reason that people who are impoverished or who are desperate or who need help choose to come to a city, because that's where the wealth is and the support is and the source of strength. And I think Salt Lake City really manages that role and plays that role for the larger region.
We really do. And this morning we announced a new project. It's called 5,000 Doors. Mm-hmm. And that project is we've been able through data to identify where we may have a gap in terms of affordable housing. I mean, Salt Lake City really has a lot of folks in poverty, and there's a shortage of affordable housing throughout this valley.
Yeah.
And again, we want to provide leadership in that area. So our 5,000 Doors project is that over a number of years, we're going to either preserve or build new 5,000 affordable housing units. And that number isn't just pulled out of the air. It's a number that we've identified as where we have a gap.
Yeah.
And we would love other communities in Salt Lake County to help us with that number. And I'm sure Mayor Becker will be working with other mayors to educate them on what the gap is in our community. But we're really excited about our 5,000 Doors project.
You know, clearly a reason that people are homeless is because they don't have homes. Often because they can't afford whatever the market rate is for rent. So that's going to have an impact there as well.
And I had mentioned the mayor's livability agenda, but equal access is at the heart of that. And that's why this 5,000 Doors project is so important.
Yeah. You also been very involved in conversations about the prison relocation, a fun topic. Do you have an update on sort of where those conversations stand? And do you know what might be happening?
All we know for sure is that there is a site in the Northwest Quadrant of Salt Lake City that's still on the table and that the Prison Commission is very seriously considering. We think there's a better use for that land.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 minutes from our international airport. It's near rail service, and and that area of our city is booming in terms of economic development, and it only makes sense to us that there is a better use for that land. There has not been a master plan in that area because of some of the environmental sensitivities that we have raised earlier in this dialogue. We know we need to get that master plan done because of the increasing economic pressures in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like because we don't have that master plan, it's hurt us in this prison discussion. But because we don't have it doesn't mean that the development pressures aren't there.
Right. People still are looking at that and thinking about how that might be used for transit, for shipping, for all those other things.
That's right. We think there's a way to achieve that and protect the environmental sensitive areas and create buffers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hope to be back to the city council sometime in the next year to relook at that plan.
So as we kind of wrap up, as a community leader, now in the mayor's office, but you know previously on the city council, and really a long, long legacy of public service. You've worked for the county. You worked with Palmer DePaulis when he was the mayor. I think I first knew you when you were working for the county with, I think, with Jim Bradley, and we were demolishing the Accord Arena, and I was doing an internship with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, now Visit Salt Lake, and we were talking about communication strategies.
I thought you had done some research. Like, how did he know I worked
no,
in the
I was this. I was this lowly, quiet intern that you didn't realize you were making such an impression on. As a community leader, what are your hopes and visions for the future of this city? Where do you want to see us in 5 years or 10 years? And what do you kind of want to leave for this city for your kids?
Well, first of all, I think we live in a great place. And I think our city is doing so many exciting things. And one of the things I'll say is it is so gratifying to see master plans come about. Mm-hmm. North Temple, we went through years of visioning what North Temple could be with the airport tracks line. And to see it, that transformation creeping along, every time I drive down North Temple, I think, wow, you know, our planning made a difference. Our investment made a difference, and
yeah.
It's really wonderful. Sugar House is chaos right now, but it's going to be spectacular. It's going to be a one-of-a-kind neighborhood in
yeah.
this country. And the density that's happening in Sugar House and the vibrancy that's in Sugar House is really cool. The development along the transit corridor of 4 South, we zoned that 12 years ago to create density, and we're starting to see it happen
mm-hmm.
On the eastern edges of that corridor, and hopefully it will continue to move. The mixed-use developments that we zoned are happening all over the city, where you have retail and housing together. So that's really gratifying to realize that ideas and conversations come about. You know, I think our city's on the right track. We have some great business nodes, neighborhood business nodes that make the quality of life in our neighborhoods better. And we need to continue to work as a city to stabilize those business nodes, because I think they really are. I live near the 15th and 15th neighborhood, and my neighbors all say we live in the sweet spot where you can walk to two different business nodes. And we want that for the whole city.
Yeah.
We want a transit system for the whole city. And I don't know what that looks like. We're about to embark on a citywide transit plan. I don't know if it'll be a combination of buses and streetcars. But we want to connect our neighborhoods to those business nodes and to our downtown and really make mobility a priority.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things.
That's great. Jill, thanks so much for your work. Thanks for your leadership. Thanks for everything you do to create a dynamic and diverse downtown. We're very grateful.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center.